Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter Interior Paint is a paint and primer in one with a tough, lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter Paint and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
What if this isn't a climate crisis, but the greatest opportunity humanity has had in a long time? Lean Into Clean will explore and discuss with highly esteemed guests on what could be the new spirals for society, sustainability, spirituality, and social harmony. Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus and restore the natural ways so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. Welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is UK Health Radio. Happy Monday to everybody. I don't know about you, but we had some gorgeous, gorgeous weather up here in North Yorkshire over the weekend. We were all out by the river having a lovely dip, natural swimming. It was really, really lovely. I even got my paddleboard out for the first time this year, which was fabulous. So I hope you guys have had a nice weekend and have been able to get out and explore and indulge in just the abundance and the fecundity and the nourishment and the energy and the joy that nature gives us. So, look, I don't want to dwell too much this week on kind of negativity, because there's a lot of that going on in the world already. But I will tell you this, we don't have a guest today. So I'm going to just run through a couple of things that have been quite important over the last couple of weeks, certainly in our world at My Green Pod, and, you know, all connected to Lean Into Clean. And I'm also, if it's all right with you, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about or kind of go back through the process of my life story. My producer often says to me when I do a kind of solo show, you know, it's really interesting, this stuff. You should do more of it. So, Johan, I'm going to thank you for inspiring me to do a little bit more of this kind of monologue type show. So thank you very much. He's giving me the thumbs up. He's got his Om t-shirt on today. And many of you will remember that we've had many ambassadors on the show. So I'm going to give a shout out to Om. Hello to Michelle and Maria and all the ambassadors. We love you. Johan is wearing his t-shirt with pride. I'm going to try and take a picture while I'm talking to you of him wearing his t-shirt in pride. Thank you very much for that. Guys, if you are interested in Om, just to let you know whilst I'm talking about it, Om is, and it's O-M-M-M, it's a movement that we are involved in at the moment. I'm an ambassador. What it is, it's a collection of people that we feel, I'm now part of kind of bring onboarding, if you like, some of the ambassadors, but we feel that are living, truly living, or understand and have accepted their life's purpose. Those people out there that have worked really well and hard and, you know, consciously in a space and become experts or masters or brilliant or you know, just super kind of just embedded the whole kind of lifestyle that they choose to live. These are often people that have done, you know, years of spiritual practice or study in a particular area. So do check out ompresents.com, ompresents, O-M-M-M, presents.com. If you feel like you're one of those people, or you know some people out there that really are living their purpose and they're giving back to the world and to other people, you know, what they have kind of understood to be a way of life, and they're now offering that back to the world or communities, they're the kind of people that we're looking for. So do go and check that out. I'm going to start this week with just a little bit of news, as I always do, unless we've got an extraordinary guest on, which we actually have. I had my People Environment Achievement Awards just a couple of weeks ago. In fact, Johan and Rafaela were there and supporting us with the UK Health team. So that was really lovely. But the People Environment Achievement Awards is an event that I've won now for 15 years. It was our 15-year anniversary this year. And what it is, it's an opportunity to celebrate and honour those individuals, those people in the world that are doing amazing, amazing things, disrupting sectors, changing the game, becoming pioneers, revolutionizing business in a more sustainable way. It's those people that we honor, which is why it's called the People Environment Achievement Awards. So it's really a cross sector of pioneers, and we awarded them at a London ceremony that really bridges sustainability and consciousness, because we've partnered with OMM, the organization. I want to say OMM, but it's actually OMM, OMMM. But of course, it's the OM, which is the first sound of creation in the Hindu and Sanskrit scriptures. But so back to the Sustainability Awards, People Environment Achievement Awards. We had a wonderful, wonderful ceremony at Ladbroke Hall in partnership with the Extreme Hangout guys, with OM as a sponsor. We also have other sponsors on board that support the event by contributing some money so that we can make the awards free to enter, which is, I think, a really beautiful thing. We are obviously now open for entries for next year. So if you know anybody out there that is a sustainability champion or a climate hero, or they're really big in culture or energy, or you know, indigenous communities, for example, we do actually have a health and well-being category. I think actually we should get UK Health on board to sponsor that one. I think that's what we should do for next year. I'm definitely up for that. We have the evolution of sustainability, the list goes on. But I just want to share with you, first of all, a couple of the sponsors that were involved. So we have the Eden Energy guys, who have got this wonderful technology, which is all the waste that we send off. We put in our dustbins and the dustbin men come to collect it, and it goes off to either landfill or to be recycled or shipped off to other countries. They have got a technology, would you believe, that can turn waste, all waste, not just any waste, but all waste, into fuel. This is absolutely massive and completely game-changing. So if you think about, you're buying oil, you're buying diesel, you're buying petrol, you know, you're using creosote, whatever it's called, in your homes to heat up the homes. And all of that fuel could actually be made from this technology, from recycled or upcycled or repurposed waste. I mean, it's completely game changing. So shout out to Egypt Energy. Shout out, of course, to Ladbroke Hall, who facilitated the event and opened up their venue for us, which was brilliant. OM, as I've mentioned before, Octopus Energy. Now, there's a great company. They're the largest sustainable energy company, supply company in the country now. We started working with them when they had 3,000 customers. They have 3.5 million now. They are the biggest energy company out there that supplies sustainable, 100% renewable energy to homes. Brilliant company. So if you haven't switched to a good, you know, a really good energy supplier, then I would highly recommend you go to Octopus Energy, particularly if you're with some of the big six, like those companies that don't really care so much about sustainability. Now's your moment to go and switch to Octopus Energy. It's really easy to do. And we partnered with the Soil Association. They sponsored one of our categories, the shopping category. In the past, we've worked with Yo Valley, with Delfina, also Extreme Hangout. A shout out to you. But what I actually wanted to share with you was actually some of the winners. So this awards, excuse me, it was on 26th of June, so just a couple of weeks ago now. And I just want to give a shout out to some of the winners, and we are going to have some of them on the show over the next few months. There'll be guests on the show. So we had a very special award that went out. It was a Lifetime Achievement Award that went out to Dr. Jane Goodall. She does amazing, amazing work for sustainability and actually all kinds of biodiversity and eco projects around the world. She's incredible. So shout out to Dr. Jane Goodall. Our Best of the Year award, this was the overall winner of all the categories, was a lady called Anila Noor, and she's from an organization called New Women Connectors. And what they are is empowering displaced women to influence global climate policy through local leadership and equity. Now, how cool is that? So she was our overall winner of the night. She was also the winner of the Climate Pioneer Award. We had for culture this year is an organization called Invisible Dust. And a shout out to Dryden Goodwin and Lucy Wood. They've got a piece of artwork called Breath. And it's an artwork that raises awareness on air pollution, and it's been viewed by over 14 million people globally. That's pretty cool. The Energy Award went out to a female-led platform allowing individuals to share private EV chargers. That was a company called Go Pluggable. So if you're in an electric car or you're thinking about it and, you know, you are a woman and you feel that, you know, it's a bit of a male space, then you can check out Go Pluggable. They're very much supporting women in the EV space. As I see loads of women electric vehicle drivers now, and we often smile at each other because I drive electric. So it's quite a nice community. If you are thinking of moving into an EV, check out Go Pluggable. Now, we have an Evolution of Sustainability Award. This is the one that's sponsored by Arm. Now, really, that is actually about shifting consciousness. It's about raising vibration. And this particular award was won by Lucy Tamam. And Lucy had this concept called One Dress Planet. And it was a collaborative couture adorned with endangered flora embroidery. Go and check out Lucy Tamam's website. It's absolutely amazing what she does. She gave me a scarf at the awards, which is actually to showcase sustainability and fashion. So thank you for that, Lucy, if you're listening. Now, for health and well-being, this was a really cool one. The company is called the Kids Operating Room. It's a solar surgery system, and it ensures uninterrupted surgery power in sub-Sahara Africa. I mean, how amazing is that? How innovative is that? That they're caught, you know, obviously, you know, creating, offering surgery to patients, particularly for children, and your power goes, like, what do you do? So they've integrated the solar surgery system into Africa, which I think is amazing. Now, this is a big shout out for our Indigenous Communities Award. The winner this year was Mindahi Bastida. He is an earth elder. And what earth elders are reviving ancestral ecological knowledge and empowering young Indigenous leaders. Do check out the Earth Elders if you're into Indigenous wisdom. Mindahi has brought together, I think, in the region of about 30 or something now, and I think there's going to be 50 or 60 altogether of Earth Elders from different parts of the world. So shout out to you. Our Innovator Award, which is sponsored by Octopus Energy. Now, this is pretty cool. It's called Circular Computing. It's an industry first remanufacturing facility, reducing e-waste and promoting sustainable IT. So, for example, there's a lot of computers out there that just, you know, when people upgrade or buy a new one or whatever, what happens to them? So these guys are kind of, you know, kind of upgrading them and then getting them back out into the system. So it, obviously, a massive amount of reduction in e-waste. And there's all kinds of amazing minerals and, you know, metals and things like that in these computers that if they can't be refurbished and reused, then they obviously take out all the really good bits and then donate them or put them back into a system that they're going to be reused. So that's fantastic. The next award was the Nature Award. Our winner for this was Lucy Gray Watson from the Ancient Woodlands UK. You may have heard of them. It's a youth-led legal advocacy for the protection of ancient woodlands in Britain. I mean, that's pretty cool. We have a shopping category because, of course, you know, shopping is a, oh, not to make you feel guilty, but it's one of the big problems in overconsumption. So we wanted to really address that. And this year's winner was actually been a winner before for another category. It was Incognito. And if you're not familiar with Incognito, they have a biodegradable, DEET-free insect repellent. And they're keeping 29,000 litres of DEET out of waterways. I mean, I don't know if you guys know about DEET. You probably do. It's a really, really toxic substance. Yes, it kills mosquitoes, but it actually is completely damaging and degrading to nature. It's toxic to us. It's a nasty, nasty, nasty chemical. So if you do want to go away and want to be bug-free, I've been using Incognito with me and my kids, my oldest daughter who's now 16 has been using it all her life, and occasionally, you know, if you forget to put it on, you get a bite. But if you are wearing it, it's absolutely brilliant. So Incognito is the product. You can buy it in Boots and Holland & Barrett and various other places, also online. There's more information about it at My Green Pod, so do check that out. Only a few more to go. So for the Technology Award, this was actually brilliant. A guy called Mark Michael Rowlands from 1 Million Bags. It's a rebranded litter picking as glittering to promote joyful, accessible climate solutions. So that's pretty cool. Essentially, 1 Million Bags is they are collecting rubbish and they want to have collected 1 million bags of rubbish in order for it to not be kind of out in nature or in, you know, dumped just anywhere in the streets. So that's really beautiful. The Travel Award, this is pretty cool. Rebecca Thompson was the winner of our Travel Award from Ecosy Travel. It's a real-time emissions tech and low-carbon travel route planner for green tourism. So that's pretty cool, Ecosy Travel. Now, for our youth category, this is a fairly youth category. This guy was an absolute superstar. This is sponsored by Extreme Hangout, this particular award. It was a young man, 11 years old. He's a climate advocate, an author teaching children how to care for the planet. He's written three books. He's 11. He got up on stage. His name is Joe Rajapaksa. Excuse me. I had to just kind of look at that to get it right. So it's Joe Rajapaksa. That's it. And it was amazing. He got up on stage. His family were there. He was there with his young sister, I think was about 8. He got up on stage and he did his little talk and he read the room and he got so much enthusiasm back from the crowd. He went into this beautiful speech. He was an absolutely awesome young man. In fact, one of the co-founders from OM, she's actually invited Joe to become an ambassador. So that was a really, really beautiful thing. So listen, if you want to check out any of those winners, any of those organizations, you can go to pawards.com. There's a beautiful press release there. Please do enter your friends and family and colleagues and teams and yourself if you are doing anything brilliant in changing the game when it comes to sustainability. We have got some fascinating categories. There's something there for everybody. So please do get involved. I'm going to take a breath just for a second. We're going to go to our first set of adverts. These are the adverts that obviously help to fund everything that we do on UK Health Radio. So if you feel inspired by, you know, any of the advertising, do get involved, do support them, because it's what keeps us guys alive and keeps us being able to offer beautiful content to you. I shall see you back here in a minute. And by the way, when I do come back, I'm going to give you a little bit of an insight as to what I think is going on in the world right now from my perspective and a bit of my background story. So don't go away. Hope you're having a lovely time. Maybe just stick the kettle on for a minute and I'll see you back here in maybe 2-3 minutes.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. I tell you what, before I got on the show today, I thought I'll go and make myself a nice cacao drink. And I was with a friend, and funnily enough, at the P Awards, actually, is a guy called Vajra. He's an alchemist, a kind of proper studied alchemist. And he was telling me about cacao and how the ceremonial properties of it and how it's good for your body. And I said, well, how much cacao do you think I should put into a drink then? And he said, well, probably about 5 grams, which sounds a lot, right? So anyway, I heaped up my teaspoons and I popped it into some nice warm milk and I'm having a drink of this as I'm going along. I tell you what, it's making me feel fantastic. Apparently cacao is very heart opening and that's obviously a really good thing. So if anyone's interested, load up your cacao in some nice warm milk and hopefully it will give you a nice warm feeling, a bit like hot chocolate did when we were children. Anyway, look, let me just tell you, kind of share with you a little bit about why I wanted to do this show solo today. As you know, we normally have a bunch of guests on, and I must tell you that actually some of the guests that we've had on over the last few weeks have been Absolutely incredible. I'm going to very quickly just run through some of those guests that we've had on. So last week, we had Lynn Franks, who's an OBE. She's a global leader in women's empowerment, communication strategist, social impact. I mean, she's just absolutely brilliant. She was one of the biggest PR gurus of the late 80s and 90s. She was behind Live Aid, which is a shout out to Live Aid. It was 40 years ago, I think today, that Live Aid happened. She did all the PR for that. So she was on the show last week. So do check her out. Remember, you can actually go and listen to all the previous shows on all of the radio hosts on all of UK Health by going to the website, ukhealthradio.com. But you can actually go to Lean Into Clean or put into the search engine Lean Into Clean, and you'll see some of the guests that I've had on recently. Now, the week before Lynn, we had, oh my goodness me, a poet, a guy called Adam Rower. I mean, he is an extraordinary individual. He was formerly an actor, but now he's officially a poet, and he goes out into the world using his poetry to awaken, stimulate and inspire people. And I tell you what, I find him one of the most inspirational poets I've certainly ever spoken to. He's got this lovely kind of way about him. He's got a cheeky smile. He's clearly had experiences in his life that have shaped the way that he operates in trying to inspire others. So do go and check out that. That's Adam Rower. And before that, we had a brilliant show. My producer, who also is actually the main guy at UK Health Radio, set it all up, is Johan Ilgenflitz. And he's now the author of a beautiful book about his own, literally his own life story of reversing cancer. And he shared his really powerful healing journey. And you must go and check out this book. Honestly, most people know somebody with cancer. If it's not immediately in their lives or in their personal lives, they probably know somebody. I've probably got a handful of people around me that are going through some kind of rehabilitation when it comes to this. And I've had lots of friends that have actually completely rehabilitated themselves. Johan is one of those. He was actually told that he had a very short period to live and went out and did his own research and basically found completely alternative ways to be able to combat and counter the cancer that he was prescribed. And so honestly, go and check out his book. The book is called Reversing Cancer. You can check out the show that we did. It's truly empowering. So go and check out that. The week before that, we had Nick Ash from Sustain Britain. He's got a dedication to creating a sustainable future for the whole of Britain, and it's really by empowering communities. So if you're interested in how you can become more of a sustainable advocate, do go and check that out. Before that, we had Sister Dr. Jenna from the Brahma Kumaris. I mean, you know, the list goes on and on and on. Before that, we had Sir Robert Edward Grant, and he was revealing loads of discoveries around what we might call kind of esoteric sacred geometry, you know, some of the reasons why, you know, discoveries are happening in the pyramids right now, you know, things that we just assumed the pyramids were just these kind of triangular, you know, man-made or whatever, however you want to question that, buildings. And it turns out they actually go 150 meters underground. They've uncovered more of these buildings. Clearly, it's not just a pyramid, but it's a building. You know, why were they created? I think there's a lot of really brilliant information coming into the psyche of us right now. We seem to be in this kind of liberating, I guess unlocking era of consciousness that's happening in the world right now, which I think is absolutely amazing. We've also had Dr. Cilla Elworthy, we've had Luke Levine and Rachel Singh, the amazing singer, Stephanie Wang from CAS, an empathogenics organization, Susan Lim, who wrote a number one record at the moment. It's by Tom Ball. It's called what's the word? I can't remember what it's called now. But anyway, it's number one in the classical charts as we speak. It was written by Susan Lim, who was on our show. Timeless, that's what it's called. How could I forget that? It's called Timeless. Anyway, I could go on and on and on, but I'm not going to. I'm hopefully giving you a bit of inspiration about all of the guests that have been on the show. But let me, if I may, indulge me for a minute, talk about me. So why is this important? So I, back in, in my early 20s, I think I was about 24, something like that, I was going through, classic, shift from, coming out of college, getting into, all the things that you do at college, lots of drinking. I was taking, illegal substances and, just doing stuff. And I got myself into a right pickle, if I'm honest. I was mixing in a beautiful group of friends. I mean, I certainly can't blame my friends on anything. If anything, they probably could have blamed me. But we were just in this circle and we lived for kind of, going out and having experiences. And I got into a situation where I was not sick, but getting poorly. And I thought, gosh, I really need to do something about this. And I remember sitting up with one of my friends one night, and we were under the influence, but having very deep conversations. And he said to me, have you ever heard of Reiki? And I was like, no, what's that? And he told me about this kind of energy exchange that comes from these people called Reiki masters. And, it's a really amazing thing. You maybe should consider going for, a session. And so I thought to myself, wow, that sounds amazing. I'm going to do that. And I lived in Wembley Park at the time, and I Googled and found, I don't know if I Googled, but I searched online, looked for a Reiki master. There happened to be one in my area, really good reviews. Booked in a session to go and see him. Went and had a session, laid on the bed, and he puts your hands over your chakras. And, I was a little bit familiar with this kind of this type of spiritual, sacred energy work, but I didn't know much about it, to be very honest. But I was practicing yoga at the time. I'd met my yoga teacher. Anyway, went to see this guy, had a session with him. I was like, it was quite interesting. I felt relaxed afterwards and it was all okay. Went back to the second one. The second one got me. I was laying on the bed. He was transmitioning or whatever it is, channeling this energy into me. And I remember having a euphoric experience, what I would describe today as the state of bliss, where I felt amazing. I felt, peaceful. I immediately welled up and tears came, and there were tears of joy and bliss. And it was like this energy or he or whatever was transmuting through him or whatever he was transmissioning to me. It unlocked something within me. And the only way I can relate to what it unlocked was exactly the same thing that certain drugs that I'd taken as a teenager, and things like ecstasy or LSD, these kind of door opening drugs. Now I'm not condoning that anybody should take these drugs, because of course they are illegal in the UK, but at the time it was part of the culture and it was something that I got involved in anyway. So I'd had this Reiki session. It was an extraordinary session, and I went back and I remember kind of, subliminally kind of meditating on it, just consciously or unconsciously tuning in to the vibration of what I'd felt. And I got this message, and it was that, how you felt then was an experience that you can feel anytime if you choose to, without having to take substances, whether legal or illegal substances. And so that was not the beginning of my journey, because I was already kind of, involved in some yoga and stuff. But it was an awakening where I decided to commit a complete life change to the way I was operating. Now, at the time, I'd also around that same kind of time, I'd also met my yoga teacher, who it turned out happened to be a shaman, a woman. She was based in Kilburn. And I just kind of began to embed on this journey with her. I was doing yoga weekly sessions. Anyway, this thing happened. It completely opened up an opportunity for me to understand that I can feel like this, through practice. And so I completely committed to my yoga teacher, my shamanic teacher at the time. I ended up spending nearly 15 years training with this woman. Her name was Judith. you know, not a very shamanic name, but you know, you speak to anybody that knows her. Judith Selig actually is a surname. She was renowned for being a shaman and a yogi and a sacred sound expert. So she, you know, through conversations with her, she seemed to remember yoga from the ancient times, maybe from past lives. She lived a shamanic principled life in the sense that, you know, when she'd go for walks, the plants and nature would communicate with her and say, you know, say things like, you know, I'd be really good for a cough, or I'd be really good for reducing your blood pressure, or, you know, I'd be really good for healing hearts, and, you know, really stuff like this, which is all, you know, now you look into it and you think about it, Ayurvedic and shamanism, and, you know, even natural health care, which was obviously more of a druid and kind of pagan thing in the UK. You know, all of these things, of course, they're there. The science is there. The proof is there. Everything is there. So I studied with this lady for nearly 15 years on the principles and practices of yoga as a foundation, sacred sound, and shamanism. And I actually, looking back at it now, I would say mysticism. So I'm now 55, soon to be. This was when I was in my under 20, 24, 20. I think I met her when I was about 23, something like that. And then had this Reiki experience. And then I, through the years, I kind of went on the studies. But my core practice was yoga, meditation, practicing mysticism and shamanism and sacred sound. And what I learned, the biggest gifts that I learned through this whole time was, yes, the principles of being still, yes, the principles of deep meditation, and I mean meditation to the point where you are so still, you begin to deepen your inner connection, you begin to deepen and widen the outer connection, so going beyond the earthly planes and tapping into, you know, perhaps the other planes, whatever you, however you want to describe them, but planes that are perhaps accessible to us if vibrationally we are healthy and open to receiving information. But it was a deep practice. But the biggest skill set I learned was the art of listening, was the art of being so still that I was able to then hear subtle frequencies or subtle currents of information that would be transmuted or you know, given to me, if you like, by those more subtle places. So if you look at, you know, spirituality and, you know, various different forms of spirituality, there are lots of texts and lots of understanding that we are able to tap into a wider field of consciousness if we are elevated or if we are operating at the same frequency. So my training was about operating at the same frequency as nature. And the way I understand nature, which is this huge playground of earthly experiences, nature is actually our teacher. It's the wisdom keeper of this planet. It's the living, breathing, conscious being of this planet. I was able to begin to hear what nature was trying to communicate with me and with others, because I didn't do this solely. There was a group of us, about 22 of us, I think, actually, that did a lot of training together. And what I began to be able to do is not only listen, I began to begin to interpret what the messages that I was getting. I don't know how it works. But I was being given a transmission of information, and then by getting my kind of thought mind out of the way and actually listening to this information as a channel, as a conduit, I was then able to reverberate, i.e. speak out or sound out what I was being given as information. And sometimes it would come as a sound, which would not be a language that we would understand, but would be a language of sound. And then other times it would just be very, very, very clear information. And I want to give you an example, right, of what happened one day. I was probably about 28, something like that. And I remember doing some meditation in the morning and, did a daily practice. I've done the daily practice now for, I think, something like 30 odd years. But anyway, did my daily practice, which was part meditation and a bit of yoga. I used to do 2 to 4 hours of yoga a day. So I was really deeply embedded in Hatha yoga, very, very still, deep breathing yoga, long postures, really breathing through any resistance and then landing in a comfortable place and then holding that posture. And as you do that, you then begin to resonate like a sparkly tuned instrument, and you're able then to the energy is able to flow through you. So I did that. Had a shower. I remember being in the shower, and I heard the wind. Just the window was open. It was quite a warm day. I heard the wind come through the window, and I heard these words: "You need to go to Oxford today." And I knew exactly where it was. It was this place called Whittingham Clumps. It's supposed to be on some very, very magical ley lines, some energy lines. And I did. So I listened to the wind. I followed my instruction. I headed out to Whittingham Clumps. I had a lovely time. I remember I got to this, there was this kind of allotment thing there. And I remember just sitting in the allotment, and I had this real Disney experience where the birds and the animals and the bushes and everything were just kind of coming out and like kind of singing around me, like in, I don't know, in Snow White or something like that. It was extraordinary. I had that beautiful, beautiful experience. Then I got back in my car, came onto the main road, turned onto the main road, and was driving. And there was this car trying to get past me, behind me. And so I thought, oh, this is a bit strange. So I pulled over and let the car pass. It turned out to be my teacher. She had received the same message to head out to this place. She was with her partner, and she'd driven past me, and she looked at me, and I looked at her, and we were like, "Whoa!" And she pulled over, and it's like, "What are you doing here? Well, what are you doing here?" I told her that I got a message from the wind, and she's like, "Wow, this is amazing." And then we ended up going for a walk together. Now, that was my first kind of real experience of understanding that the guidance that I was getting was a clear, clear message, and if I followed it, then something extraordinary would happen. As I said, I'm now 55, and I get pretty much those experiences on a daily basis. But I'm sure many of you out there will have similar experiences. It may be you may want to describe it as intuition, or you may want to describe it as a cosmic connection. You may want to describe it as inner, an inner voice. And I think many of us, if not all of us, have this. The point is what I'd been able to do is exercise that muscle of listening and identifying to the fact that it wasn't my monkey mind, my thoughts that were doing this. It was a voice that was different to my own internal addictive dialogue. And I've basically come over the years to be able to nurture that and honor it and respond to it. And the more I've done that, the more profound the messages get. I'm going to share with you after the next break about some of the messages that I've been getting over the latter few years, because I think these are important messages for you. For every single person that is alive, that wants to live in the world in a different way. Excuse me, I feel like these messages are particularly for you. So we're going to go to the second set of commercial breaks. Do check them out, do get involved. I'm going to come back to you and share with you some of the wisdom that has come through to me over the last few years. I shall see you back here in just a few moments.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, welcome back. Thanks for sticking around. So, I was just talking about, and for those of you that have just tuned in, apologies if you missed the first part of the show, but I was just really sharing the training that I had with a female shaman, a yoga teacher, and sacred sound master for over 15 years. In my early 20s, I'm now 55 and have continued those practices throughout my life through daily practice, meditation, yoga, a kriya, the whole thing. And what one of the things that really became apparent to me was that nature and perhaps other sub, sub you know what would I call them? other voices, other subtle frequencies, subtle energies are trying to communicate with us all the time if we are still enough and open enough to receive the information. Anyway, so this one I think is really, really, really important. So in 2020, we had the pandemic arrived. I remember, in February or maybe even January, around possibly even around Christmas time, we were aware of this village in China called Wuhan that had shut down, and everybody was locked in their houses because there was this virus. Yeah. And then eventually that virus began to spread and it began to pop up. And I was living in Lewis at the time. And I remember there was a super spreader, funnily enough, that I think somebody in Austria or something, they were described as a super spreader and had come and super spread this virus into the UK. Whether you believe all this stuff or not, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. I'm just kind of sharing the background story. So we went into this period of lockdown. It was roughly March 20th. 22nd, possibly something like that. I remember having to pack up my stuff in the office and, getting it in the car, and no one knew when the office was going to be open again. Went home, started setting up at home, and then I remember it was beautiful, beautiful weather. I think it might have been April or May. The sun was shining. It was absolutely gorgeous. And I think it might have been May, if I remember rightly. So we'd had a couple of months at home. We were very lucky. We were in the countryside, so it was a pretty fortunate place to be. We could get outside in the garden and stuff. And then my neighbour, there were five houses where I lived on a farm, and they're all in a kind of farm, like a barn kind of refurbished barn. That's the word I was looking for. And my neighbor, who was four doors away, she got COVID, and she was really, really sick, and she was really, really worried. She didn't want to come in contact with anybody. There was all this kind of what I would describe as propaganda, and I'm sorry if I don't mean to be rude to anybody out there that was scared by this. Of course we all were, but I think with hindsight we can see that there was a lot of propaganda around it. Every day we'd sit down at 5 o'clock and see how many people had died and how many were sick, and it was just awful. Anyway, she was really, really, really consumed, not only by the illness but by the fear of dying and spreading this virus to somebody else. And I remember it wasn't her, it was her husband that told me about it. And I remember getting this information that had come from nature in exactly the same way that I was just describing. And I got this message that, just take a moment just to sit quietly because I want to tell you something. And so I went out into the field and I sat down on the ground and I meditated for a while. And I said, okay, what's this virus all about? And I remember getting the feedback, and I felt like the virus was speaking to me. As weird as this is going to sound, it felt like I was being communicated, certainly by something that understood how this virus was operating. And the information was this: this virus that you are worried of, that is a catastrophically killing virus, is actually an opportunity for humanity to evolve from the state of fear. So I am giving you a gift, if you choose to take it, that I can help you in order to push through the levels of fear that we've been indoctrinated by through our human experience. And the virus told me very clearly that yes, of course, there will be some people that are sick, and it will actually help them to disengage from this reality. And we would call it death, but as I don't know if you believe what I do, but I do believe that there is no such thing as death. We are spiritual experiences, spiritual beings having a human experience, and therefore death is just simply a gateway or a doorway back to, the more spiritual way of being, and we can choose to reincarnate or not. That's certainly my philosophy, not just mine, many's, but it's what I believe. So this virus was just kind of saying to me, or communicating to me, that I've actually come to bring you all a gift. And the gift is that, for those of you that choose to take it, is that you can actually begin to push through the dark veils of fear and emerge as something else. And I was like, wow, That is extraordinary. And I remember passing on the message to my neighbor, who passed it on to his wife, who must have thought, I was an absolute lunatic. But for me, it was a real insight to what we might perceive because we are such a fear-based species, and not because of us, just because of the environment that we have allowed ourselves to be indoctrinated by. It's predominantly driven by fear. If you think about the news, you think about, all of that stuff, it's always fear-based, never joyful or fun or happy-based. So that was a massive introduction to what I would describe as global impact or whole world view messages that I was getting. So that was the beginning. I began to really trust this. And look, I don't want to wash over the fact that the pandemic was pretty awful. We had a, you know, my father-in-law died. He had a heart attack after having an injection, a vaccination. Whether it was linked or not, we will never know, but certainly feels like it was to me. But he passed peacefully, but he did pass during that time. So we had a huge loss in our family. We weren't allowed to go to the funeral because you just weren't. We weren't allowed to go and visit him in hospital in a couple of days before he passed. It was horrible, right? Horrible. But I think what I'm trying to say is that as horrible as things are, if we can adjust the dial or change our mindset or come back into heart and experience things through a heart-based consciousness, then we would be having completely different experiences on the planet today. So the second one I want to really, really highlight, and this I think is huge, right? I remember my wife telling me that she had spoken to somebody that was a deeply spiritual person that had been meditating. She'd got a message from the earth and said, "Look, I'm really sorry that you humans are understanding climate change to be your responsibility. It's not. It's just part of the cycle that we are going through. And don't blame yourselves, because if you blame yourselves, you're not actually going to be able to to truly immerse yourself in the rather dramatic changes and evolution that we're going through." So she told me that, and I was like, that sounds and feels true to me. So I remember going and sitting and meditating in nature again, and I said to nature, I said to, Gaia, Mother Earth, Mother Nature, who I've got a really beautiful relationship with, why are we experiencing this thing that we're calling a climate crisis? And she said to me, "It's part of the journey. It's part of the evolutionary process that we committed to before we incarnated into this life." And she said something along the lines of, is it 8 billion people that are causing the climate crisis, or have 8 billion souls come in to experience what the climate is going to do in order for us to evolve?" That felt more true to me. And the message I got was this. And when I finish this, I promise you, I'm going to play one of my songs. The message was, and I really, really would invite you to, just for a moment, to stop anything that you're doing, just close the eyes and feel these words and feel if they feel true to you. What Mother Nature, Gaia, this conscious, living, beautiful being that provides sustenance and life for us to be able to experience this plane, this dimension, she said to me this: I am at the moment having to shout as often as I can to awaken humanity to remember." She said to me, "The only way that I can communicate with you, because nobody's listening, is by causing, weather changes, earthquakes, floods, heat, etc. Because that is my voice. That is how I communicate with you. And by doing that, hopefully you'll take notice and actually respond." She also said to me, "This thing is not a crisis. I'm just giving you an opportunity to wake up so that we can remember, so that we can come back to unity, and so that we can evolve, not only in our earthly experience, but as a universal experience." So the whole universe and whatever comes beyond that is going through an evolutionary time of development, of literally of evolution, of conscious shifting experience. And we are a part of that. We signed up for a part of that. And she said to me this is the final key to the puzzle. She said to me, if we can get humanity at the very least to offer gratitude and appreciation in that vibration, in that frequency to me, i.e. to the earth, I could change this thing that you're calling a crisis in a breath or in a heartbeat. So it put me on a mission, and which is why partly I'm involved in the Om organism now, the Om movement. It's because if we can use our voices and our skills and the way we show up in the world, the way we have external relationships with people in the world, if we can be an example of gratitude and appreciation, love, happiness, joy, all of that, you know, kind of what I would call high vibrational ways of being, then if we can get enough people over the line to be in that space of gratitude, that will then resonate across my whole body, and I can fix this thing that you're calling a crisis in an instant. So the key to this is not for us to be creating technologies to be, you know, carbon capture, you know, reducing ourselves from fossil fuels. Of course, that's going to be paramount in the transition to a clean economy. Of course it is. But what we need to start with is remembering that we are part of this. We engaged, we incarnated into this paradigm at this time to be one of the souls that's choosing to be part of the evolutionary process, number one. Secondly, if we can get back to the vibration of heart, the vibration of gratitude, love and appreciation, and we can hold that frequency and we invite people to come and join us in that frequency rather than lowering ourselves back into the fear-based state, that will be the very thing that will help us to have a really smooth, lovely transition from this old fear-based paradigm into this, whatever this new paradigm is, but probably a frequency of love and abundance and happiness and joy. Now, they were the words. That was what she shared with me. That felt true to me. Even makes my hair stand up on end when I talk about it. That was the message that I wanted to get across to you in today's show. If you are in any way, shape or form interested in this way of being, then I would advise you heavily to go and check out Om. So go to www.ompresents.com, sign up, and you will become part of a community that is trying to uplift and inspire and awaken the masses, people right across the world, to live and move into this vibration of love, gratitude and appreciation. So that's it for me today. I wrote some songs during my time in my spiritual and sacred practices. And one of them is, we're going to play it now, is called What's It Going to Be Now? The song really was gifted to me, and I kind of, you know, wrote it and learnt it and sung it and produced it. And it's really, okay, are we going to take advantage of this life that we are living now, or are we going to have to leave this one and come back and try again? So what's it going to be now, the life you're living or the next one to come? That's me. I'm Jarvis Smith. I'm going to see you next Monday. Thank you for listening with me. Thank you for staying with me. And this is the tune that I wrote over 10 years ago. I hope you enjoy it. And we'll see you next week. Lots of love.